The second scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This can be found on page 167 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. So it's 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple.
How many love yourselves? Not a quick response anyway, was it? There's some names. Well, it is a tough topic in a way, because generally when we think about loving ourselves, we think the first word that comes in your mind is selfish, right? When you think about yourself, you're selfish. That word pops up all the time. We know how important it is to love God and love neighbor. Words of Jesus. We know that's important. But sometimes we forget that little tagline on the back of what he said when he said to love God with all your strength, with all your might, with all your being, to love your neighbor as yourself. So if God loves me, I believe he does God love you? Then shouldn't we love what God loves? We should also love ourselves. And of course, the big question is, how do we do that? Well, let's go through some of the things that happen to people in our lives. I think what Kathy has shared with us about what's going on in Nigeria, I sometimes think that the more love we have for ourselves, the more touched and compassionate and even brought tears to people's lives in other countries who are suffering so terribly. I think love flows from us to others more when we love ourselves than if we don't. Because I've heard people say about all the different things that go on around the world is, well, it don't matter as long as we're okay. Love is bigger than that. It's about loving ourselves. Some people, as we know, are prideful and arrogant and egotistical. The kind of person who goes like, I'm number one. Yeah, you ever hear anybody like that? They're always boasting about themselves, and whenever you talk with them, they've got to have the last word. You ever hear people like that? They're boasting about themselves. There's an opposite side to that, which is very, very terrible, I guess you would say, because some people have been grown up in really difficult homes and families, and they've been abused, and they've been hurt. And so they often come out thinking of themselves as worth nothing. I'm not worth anything. You've met people like that as well, I'm sure. There's a man that I had contact with for some years who lived in the bottom of a firehouse in the basement there, damp. He had no self-esteem about himself at all. He called him, every time I saw him, he told me how ugly he was. That was his favorite. I'm just an ugly guy nobody wants. He only had one leg, smelled bad, drank whiskey, and he was just always using colorful language in the worst sense. And he could never figure out why I kept coming to visit him. But we kept having a conversation. And his story, of course, was that he lost that leg in driving an ambulance in World War II. And I said, well, you helped somebody doing that ambulance driving. So you did some good things for people. And I kept trying to point out where he didn't have to feel like he was worth nothing, but he believed he was. He was adopted. His mother got rid of him as soon as she could. He never found out who his mother was. Nobody cared. The person who adopted you, I said, how about her? He said, she's the only person that ever cared for me, he said. And I haven't been very good to her. I don't know how to do that. I mean, it was just a terrible situation for him. And eventually, I'll make the story real short, he did come to a conclusion when he said that I've told you that only my adopted mom ever cared for me. I guess I have to add you to the list. Because somehow, when I had a back problem, he called me every day to make sure I was okay. he actually expressed some kind of love, maybe for the first time since his adopted mom. And that made a big difference in our relationship. And I told him once, well, you can add others with me as well. You can add the church. Because don't you remember Christmas? They came with food. Don't you remember Thanksgiving? They brought you a turkey. Don't you remember the deacons and all the people that stopped by to see how well you were doing? And when you were in the hospital, those folks were. I said, they all love you. And he started to cry. Made all the difference in the world. But he always lived with that sense of himself being ugly and not worth anything. He even said it once, I'm glad you care about us, but it's kind of cared about me, but you're sort of wasting your time. And I again was amazed when he called and said, when I die, I want you to do my funeral. I said, why? Because you know me. He didn't say love. He said, you know me. And I said, I do know you, and I know that you loved me when I was hurting. So you can't get rid of that word love. Anyway, things turned out pretty well for all of that, even though most of his life you would have looked at and said, wow. Many people are unable to forgive themselves. Many people have done something in the past that they feel bad about doing themselves, and they feel unacceptable because of what they did. They don't like themselves for what they did. And sometimes when you can't forgive yourselves, you end up feeling guilty, and you have this false guilt that just is hanging around you all the time. And like the man I was talking about, you think you're ugly or stupid, and the list could go on and on. God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants his love in us. And when God's love is in us, we love ourselves. Because who has created us in his image? God has. God created our body and our mind and our intellect and our spiritual gifts. And we were all born to love God, to love others, to love ourselves. I like to call that the Trinity of our love. Loving God, loving neighbors, loving ourselves. It all comes together. And the more we love ourselves, I believe, the more we can pour out love to them. Now, loving ourselves doesn't mean we go around saying, hey, I love myself. I'm great, aren't I? I'm really glad I'm back. No, it humbles us, really, when you stop and think about it. It humbles us to know how loved we are by God and how much love we can have for ourselves and use that love to pour it out humbly to others for their well-being, for their justice, for their violence they're facing in other countries, for all kinds of ways to reach out for others, not in a boasting kind of way, but in a loving kind of way. In fact, I think if there's a need in us to forgive ourselves, that we can always turn to God and forgive. I have a hunch that God is saying, I've already forgiven you, now forgive yourself. See, if we're not forgiving ourselves, we're holding on to it. We're holding on to it. Jesus is saying, I've taken it away. Now you let it go so that you can feel the fullness of love in you. If we don't forgive ourselves or forget others, what we experience is a fruit called bitterness. And it'll hang into our hearts and minds and spirits all our lives if we don't let it go. God has already let it go, as far as the east is to the west. Two lines from 1 Corinthians that Ryan read. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? It's like you are that temple. I like to use the word house. You are that house. You live in you and God lives in you. I love that line, and I'll tell you why. Real quick little thing here. I ran into a guy from Germany, and of course with a name like mine, Schreckheiss, it's very German. And so I was just talking with him, and we had just met each other, and he asked me what my name was, and I said, Dick Schreckheiss. And he goes, oh, Schreckheiss. I said, do you know what that means? He said, I think so. I said, well, We're actually from Austria, our family is, but what does the name Schreckeis mean? He said, well, something that is schrecklich is something scary and frightening. Heiß is literally the word hot, but I think it's a perverted form of the word house. So your name means haunted house. I said, I think I like that. He said, why, do you like Halloween or something? I said, no. I said, I think I like that, though. Just thinking about it. If Schreck House is really my name, is that the way you should say it? He said, yeah. I said, well, Schreck House, okay, this is my house, my body. I live in this. This is my body, and I'm haunted by the Holy Ghost. He goes, wow, that's a pretty neat spin. But in a way, there's some truth in it, that the body we live in, God dwells. We abide with God. The Spirit abides in us. In John 14, there's a verse there that you're familiar with as well, when Jesus is talking about his death, and that he tells the disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled, in John 14. Trust in God, trust in me as well. And then he promises his followers that wherever he goes, they will go with him. And he says, you know the way to the place where I am going. Now stop there for a minute and ask this question. How many of you have ever asked a dumb question? Oh, a lot of hands went up real quick. Well, how come teachers and everybody, professors, there's never a dumb answer or a dumb question? Have you ever heard that? Teachers especially, there's no such thing as a dumb question. It's okay to ask a dumb question. And so a lot of us have already done it, right? One of the disciples was about to ask a dumb question. And I think that's probably what they thought it was, because they were all sitting there waiting for the other person to say it. Have you ever done that? You just know that this question's out there for everybody, but I feel dumb asking it, so I'll wait and maybe somebody else will ask it. And sure enough, they do, and everybody snickers, and you go, boy, I'm glad I didn't ask that. The disciple that had the most courage said what maybe the other disciples thought being a dumb question when he said, and it was Thomas. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? If it was a dumb question, it was a beautiful question. And it was beautiful because of Jesus' answer. And he said one of the things that we most remember in the Bible. And what Jesus said was, I am the way and the truth and the life. And he says more than that as that chapter goes on. And later on in John 15, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. I like to read it, if you love me, you will follow me. There's a lot of different ways to say that, but that we will stay with Jesus. And if we follow him, we'll wind up where he is. And I will ask the Father, he says, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. We've been talking about the Spirit, and that's where the Spirit comes in this. That God will dwell with us. The Spirit will dwell with us. I believe the Spirit is always in us ever since the day of Pentecost to work with us, that we might love more fully, that we might abide with Jesus like on the vine, that we may trust and know that God dwells in us. God's not out there. We don't have to try to go find him somewhere and have some long thing overseas to find out where in the world God is. Right here. Don't have to go anywhere. Just say, God, thank you for loving me so much, for being a part of my heart and my life. Let me share it with others, with humility, with grace, and with love. The counselor will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit is definitely, I believe, the gift of loving ourselves. The love of God, love of neighbor, love of self, a trinity of grace. The one who loves us desires us to love ourselves, that we might have a cup full of love in our lives and constantly letting it overflow into the life of others. So go home and talk to yourself about, what does that mean? How do I love myself? What do I feel? Take a look, you'd suggest it. Take a look in the mirror. Take a look at yourself. And do you love yourself? Now, I might not love everything I look like love. I got some bumps and things going on. I got some things that aren't perfect with my body. Of course, we all do. But God still loves us. All that doesn't get in God's way at all. It's inner, it's spirit, it's heart, it's peace, it's wholeness, it's blessing, it's love, it's forgiveness. It's through all of that, am I the kind of person who lives that way and shares all of that with others humbly, not about me, but that you can live this way? Like the man in the firehouse, you had love. I couldn't get my love to put in his love. It had to be God's. But I had to let him know I loved him. And that made a change. I'll never know what kind of change. I never heard him say anything about I accept Jesus or anything like that before he died. But maybe in what happened in his life, there was such a big block in his life and hurt in his life. He couldn't get there. But God could. God could. And that's why loving ourselves is so important, because it so enriches other people when we humbly share it and affirm them. That, like the end of the healing sheet you put up on the screen that said, you are loved. Other people need to know it, especially those folks we were talking about who haven't experienced maybe even being loved in the first place. You are loved. Every one of us, we know that. But we also know there's people who don't feel that way. So let's just pour out our love into their lives as best we can. So I'll close with, again, a poem. I wrote this poem at least 4 times and revised it this morning. So hopefully I'm getting to the place where I think it's meaningful. Of course, we'll call this poem Love Yourself. Loving myself is not easy. It is different than asking God to give me whatever I want. If I believe God loves me, then I should love myself. But if I take an honest look at my life, I must be blunt. I have made mistakes. I have sinned. I have dropped my time of prayer. I have lied. I have strayed and stayed angry and wanted revenge. I take more than I give. I have a dark side. Lord, turn my life around to follow Jesus. He is the way and the truth and the life. Turn my heart to love myself and turn my heart to my neighbor. Breathe on the embers of my soul to reignite it, like the old Quaker song, turning, turning will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right. Amen.